Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Just because Carol and Dave have just been incredible parents to thousands around the world, and they've been parents in the Church of the Nation leadership, and parents to Val and I, parents to even many in this room, and they just, I tell you, they've run the race with such fervor. And they, in the military, we got this tall guy, it's called the right-hand marker when you're marching in a line, and he's right in the corner of your peripheral vision. And you know, if you don't stay in line with him, you're going to have the sergeant major giving you words that you don't want to hear. And Dave and Carol have been that right-hand marker so many lives, taking the marker off them. And I just honor you today, Dave and Carol. You're just such a blessing in our lives, and truly honored. And I've got this excitement in the gut just having Dave and Carol in the house to minister today, because we've walked so many years with them. They're in the roots of Coastal. They helped us pull this off the ground, and it's been crazy seasons that we've all gone through, and I've gone crazy journeys with Dave and Carol, especially Dave, around the world. Some others go to Switzerland and all those nice places. Now, Dave and I go to Sri Lanka, Haiti, and all those places, yeah. But it's been a true honor, true joy journeying. And I say thank you that my life and our lives and my family's life is richer for having you both walk with us. And we are happy to have you minister the word this morning, and I would love to pray for you. So stretch your hands to Dave as we just posture our hearts to hear your word. So, Father, we are grateful for dads, for fathers, because they truly play a huge part and in reflecting and resembling you and mirroring you and portraying you. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for Dave and Carol as parents. Thank you for Dave as he stands in the offices as an apostolic oversight, as a dad and a father to many. We thank you that as he stands here, he carries a mantle that we want to receive as a family, as a church family, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dave.
Okay. I was about to say to Rod before he sat down, just wait, let's make sure the mic is working. Val's sister Dee always used to say when it got very sentimental or emotional, she used to stand up, because Harry and I were usually crying and Rod at that point, and Dee would say, enough of all this crying now, let's just get on with this. I feel a little bit like I should be saying that right now. But it really is wonderful. Such an honor to be here. And I just want to honor Rod and Val as well. Rod is a father to many. Rod has a shepherd heart like I know few people have. And Val obviously is the rudder that guides the shepherd heart in the right direction. But really, just bless you guys. It's just such an honor to be here for me and Carol. So this is wonderful. I'm glad all the men are in the house. Did you know the Bible gives advice to men? It says in Genesis over here, it says, it came about that when he, that is Abraham, came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. Wise man. All men need to follow Abraham's example. There are times that you need, you know, particularly when your wife says, how does this outfit look from the back? There's only one answer. It looks beautiful. So, seriously, moving on. Just happy Father's Day to all the dads. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. It really is just wonderful. I want to start by sharing a lovely Father's Day statement. So if you could pull that up, John, if you've got it there. It says over here, it's only when you grow up and you step back from him or leave him for your own career or home, it's only then that you can measure a father's greatness and fully appreciate it. Honor reinforces love. That was written by American actress and soprano by the name of Margaret Truman, whose dad just happened to be Harry Truman. the 33rd president. And it's so true. You know, when you get these moments and these things, it's only when we step back on our own. Sometimes you look at your kids and you think they know, but you look at each other and you say, one day they will know when they have their own. So just a lovely American statement that I thought that we would share on Father's Day. All of us go about our daily work and our chores, and you never know what will happen next or who will show up unexpectedly. And it's wonderful as we journey through life and we have those things. And suddenly you will go along through life, and have you ever had one of those moments where an old friend just shows up out of the blue and you are so blessed by that? Carol and I had a precarious situation which arose in February this year. We had been scheduled to go back to South Africa for a series of meetings and conference and what have you. And then obviously due to the situation around the world, that all shut down and everything was put on hold. But there were two things that weren't shut down, and we were in a jam. We have a wonderful daughter-in-law who I always tell her that she's not allowed to leave our family because she adds value to our family. And it was her 40th birthday. And then on top of it, her daughter, our eldest granddaughter, turned 21 the next day. Now, in South Africa, we don't celebrate Sweet 16. 21 is a big deal. So these two major milestone birthdays were coming up, and we'd told the family, we stuck here, we can't get back, we're not coming. In fact, Carol and I had even made a video clip for them for their birthdays, and we'd sent it back to South Africa and said to our kids, play it on the birthdays. But we'd had our return tickets booked anyway, but, you know, they were just kind of put on hold. And we wrestled and wrestled because in life, there are only three things that you can never retrieve. And that's the word once it's spoken, the time once it's wasted, and the moment once it's gone. And we wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and we said, you know what? We can never live this moment again. And so, with 5 days to go, we scrambled to the airline because there was no cost for changing the air tickets. And they got us on the flight. And this was a big secret. We didn't tell anyone. And then we decided that even though, like the rest of you, we'd been vaccinated, we decided we better go for COVID tests anyway so that we could get through. So we went through all this. And this is the day before we're due to leave. And Carol says, we better tell someone that we're going. You know, I mean, it might be nice for somebody to know where we are. So we called our son, who is the husband to our daughter-in-law, whose birthday it was. We said, look, we're getting on the plane. We're coming back tomorrow, but don't tell the girls. And he was so excited. And he said, they will go mad. Anyway, we snuck into Port Elizabeth, and we lay undercover for a few days, and then Ron called me and he said, Dad, I'm sorry to do this with you with jet lag, but can you be at our house tomorrow morning at 8:15? He said, the girls will go mad. So he told them there was a FedEx parcel arriving for them at 8:15. They had to be there. So we donged the in South Africa, we all have high walls. You know, it's like Fort Knox, you know. You push the bell and ping-pong, and they see your fat cat. You know, like you see on the television, they see your photograph. Anyway, the gate clicked open, and Charlie and our granddaughter, Dana, came out, and they saw us. Well, when Ronald said they'd go mad, it was not an understatement. They went ballistic. They rolled around, and they screamed, and they cried, and they laughed, and they clapped, and they hugged. And I said to Carol, well, we may as well go back to the States now. Exactly what we came for was being achieved. And it was one of those wonderful moments. But you have those moments that are unexpected when someone shows up. But how about it when an angel shows up? How about this? This next story is about that. It's from Judges chapter 6. It says over here in verse 11, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizarite. and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. Not bad when an angel shows up. Now, it's an appropriate thing that here they are, father and son, it's dad's farm, son's beating out the wheat on the floor with dad. And the reason that they would, and it's lovely that he has a picture of a father and son working on Father's Day. And the reason they were working so frantically was that if the Midianites came ahead of time, they would have totally destroyed the crop and all the wheat. They would have burnt it. And the angel shows up and just kind of parks under the tree on the farm. When an angel shows up and there's a visitation of God, it's called a theophany. And there are other theophanies that have occurred within in the Bible. When you look at the burning bush, that was a theophany. The pillar of fire by night, that was as well. When the angel came to Mary, all of those were theophanies. Now, Joash, as we said, was Gideon's father, and things were pretty desperate. And then suddenly the angel appears. And in verse 12 it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" Lovely to have that at a moment when you're in a jam and you're not sure which way to go. I don't share this story often. Maybe I have over the years here. But I started carrying a cross and bowl, which I've carried in 31 nations of the earth. And I started in the days in South Africa during apartheid when there were riots on the streets of Soweto. And the Lord said to me, "You go into those riots and you begin to start with those people." And we began to wash their feet and weep with them on the streets, and it was a very black time in our nation's history. And I would work out of my friend, is there a picture of my friend and myself, Jameson Chongwe? He was a lovely man in Soweto. He was a friend of mine. I worked out of his house. And every night I'd come back to his place and he'd say, "Where were you today?" I would tell him. And then the one day I came back and he shook his head. He said, "How can you go there? You can't go into that area. That's where all the drug dealers, the bank robbers, the rapists, they all live there." So I said, well, I got on pretty well with him. So I went back there the next day. And I got to this one house and there was this pretty cool guy sort of leaning on a gate. And he was kind of nonchalant and he was chatting to me. And eventually he said, "Come with me, I want to show you something." And I went around the back of this place and six other guys appeared and they grabbed me and they bundled me into this little tin shed. And they started pushing me and knocking me around. And as they were doing that, the Lord started to give me words of knowledge about each of them. And one by one, they dropped to their knees and they started giving their hearts to Jesus. And after about an hour, there was a knock on the door of the shed. And there was this guy standing there with this lovely face. And he said to me, "Are you all right, sir?" He said, "I've been following you around for a few days." He said, "I just want to know that you're all right." I said, "Yes, I'm absolutely fine." Now, while all the pushing and shoving was going before the words of knowledge came, I thought, "God, I'm not going to get out yet. You know, I'll never see Carol again." And he said, "Won't you come with me?" He says, "Come to my house. I want to cook a meal for you." So I followed him through the little alleys and to where we were going. And he introduced me to his father. And they sat down and they cooked a beautiful Western-style meal for me in their little shack. Now, I think that was a theophany. I've never said this. But I'm sure an angel of God showed up that day. I've often said for years, I could find the shed where the guys had me in. But I don't think I could find the house where the man and his dad lived. And I'm positive as I've gone back. And no matter how desperate the situation looks in any of our lives, there's a moment that God shows up. There's a moment that angel's going to drop in. And I want to say to you today, I don't know what you're walking. Maybe you're not walking a difficult time. That's fine. Just enjoy it anyway. Be encouraged in God. But if you're in a desperate place, I just want to say to you, don't quit because the angel's on its way. And sometimes, you know, we just become wearied by the journey. I have a lovely Australian assistant. Her name is Mel. Speak to her every other day on modern media. And we work on Zoom calls and on Skype and whatever else we work on these days. We chat. And she's a happy girl. She's a lovely, mature girl. And I was chatting to her the other day, and she kind of just seemed like she was a little bit down. And I said to her, Mel, are you okay? And she said, oh, Dave, I'm just struggling a bit. My family's in Australia. I'm in England. We're locked down. I work hard in the church. I run the Bible school. I work with you. But she said, you know, it's just been long now. And that was where she was at. And sometimes we just feel wearied from the journey, and that's okay. That's okay. But then let's go back to our little story with Gideon in verse 13. It says, then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us to give us into the hand of Midian. Where are all the miracles? Sometimes we pray. Has it ever happened to you? When you first became a Christian, your little prayers had big answers. And now you're a Christian and you're praying big prayers with little answers. But I want to say God has not quit. We look around, we've got desperate situations of people fighting with cancer and fighting with things that are, my prayer list is longer now than it's ever been. And you kind of think sometimes your faith just gets weary. We did it with Dee, Al's sister. We're doing it with Rod's brother now. I've got elders' wives who are doctors who are, their bones are eaten by cancer. And yet I know, I've seen people come to me years later and say, Dave, come on, man. You prayed for me there. And I was miraculously healed. And here I am. And we can cry. It's okay to cry out and say, God, where is it? Because you know why? The angel's on his way. He's on his way. Sometimes we just need an angel. And it happens to the best of us. I don't know how many of you were able to look in on the leadership conference, which we did online for the first time this year. I think people did from around the world. But there's been quite a debate around the prophetic, and it's come in for quite a lot of stick, some of the prophets in the nation. And so we felt, let's not give up on prophecy because it's God's heart. If you look at all the major things that happened in the early church and the New Testament, it was the prophets and the apostles that pushed it. And so we decided to have two mature prophets, and there was a wonderful interview the one night. And one of the guys was Bob Hazlett, highly respected prophet even in this nation. And the maturity and the humility of these guys, being able to say, you know what, guys, I was just wrong on certain things. And Bob shared after the lockdown how he was called to come to a church to come and operate in the prophetic. And he said his faith was so rattled. He got there and he said, God, I don't think I know how to prophesy anymore. He said he was just so badly shaken. He said, and as he was standing there crying out to God in front of these people, God suddenly started giving him words of knowledge for people in the congregation, and the gift started to flow again. And he said after the service, people came up to him and they said to him, Bob, these years ago you prophesied over me. This has come to pass. This has come to pass. And he realized that God in the midst had sent an angel to lift him up and to reestablish him. Hallelujah. Your angel's on its way. One time I was standing at Miami International Airport. We were going to do a mission and lap of honor on Aruba. And I'm standing there, and there's this long line behind us, and people are getting scratchy and antsy. And I get to the front. I've been to Aruba many times before, handing my stuff. I said, "Sorry, sir, you can't go to Aruba. You don't have a visa." I said, "But, you know, I was there 2 months ago." I said, "No, the law has changed, and you've got to have a visa." Now I'm standing there with my bag, my assistant, and we're waiting to check in. And I start praying, and I said, "God, you've got to intervene now." And with this long line of very scratchy people behind us, the man behind the desk who's checking me and says, "Wait, sir, I want to help you." And he picks up the phone on the desk, and he dials the embassy. He says, "I have a man stuck here, and he hasn't got a visa. He didn't know." I said, "Send him down. We'll be ready and waiting for him when he comes." With that, he rearranges and books me on the afternoon flight and settled the whole thing for me. And eventually we got to Aruba. Can I just show you? This is the picture of us on Aruba. We had one of the best missions we'd ever had. We saw people. There was a cynical radio station guy who wanted me on his show. He wants me on his show, but he says, "I want to give you a road test first." So he arranges to meet me. He doesn't show up, so I start. And I started washing this lady. She was selling timeshare. I started washing her feet on the street. And I get to the end of the bench, and the guy on the very end says, "I'm the guy from the radio station. I just wanted to see if you're for real." Wow. But you see how God does it. And then what happened when we were on the island, it's almost never happened on another island before. Somehow the media decided that they liked us. And we had 6 radio stations who wanted, I just had to send all the team to the radio stations. And the main television station, the news, they decided they liked me. So they would send a cameraman and a reporter out to follow me every day. So by the time I got to the end of the mission on the island, I'd get to people, I'd say, "Hi, it's all right, you don't need to introduce yourself. We see you on the news every night." That's the angel of God showing up. And it started with a man at Miami International Airport who picked up his phone and shifted things in the heavenlies. I want you to be encouraged. I've sent Carol ahead to campgrounds with my children when my children were small, because we were doing what God told us to do when we didn't have any money. We lived on air and prayer. And Carol would check into the caravan, they call them caravan campgrounds. She would check in there, and I'd have no money to pay. And I'd be walking along, and a motorist would stop, and God would get an angel out of the car. He'd just pray with me on the side of the road and say, "Here, here's some money." And we'd use that money to pay for the trailer park. Ask Rod, he's seen it with me on the road. And God sends angels. You see, look over here in verse 14 of our little story. "Then the Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?'" Go in this your strength. That strength is God's imputed strength to you. It's when he imputes his strength into you. Gideon and his men must have been the biggest underdogs in military history when they were set out to battle the Midianites. Overwhelmingly outnumbered, underarmed, all that had been whittled out of them, just 300 men left, and their arsenal consisted of pots holding torches and a sword apiece. Outgunned and outrun in every way. And sometimes we feel like that, and then God tells him, "Go in your strength." But it's the imputed strength. No matter how whittled down you feel, no matter how bad your defenses might be, no matter how weary you may feel, God's plan is already at work in you and for you today. Be encouraged. And God gives us answers in the most unexpected ways. He gives us answers in the most unexpected ways. Notice he tells Gideon that you will be the vehicle of your miracle. And God is wanting you to be your own miracle. Sometimes we're waiting for God to send someone else when actually saying all the time, "No, you are it." Yeah. And it's wonderful. And we can rise up with that. And we can do that. I remember when I got to the city of Durban in South Africa, and the Lord said to me, He shared with me about Abraham, where Abraham said, Will you spare the city if there are 50 righteous men? And then, you know, the story went down 40 and 30 and 20 and then 15 and then 10. And eventually God said that to me in Durban. God said, I want you to rally the 50 righteous men. I want you to march them down the main street of Durban, and I will break the thin veneer of Durban in South Africa is like Miami. It's the tropical place where everybody goes on vacation. He says, I will break something if you do that. And I said, God, now have you ever tried to get an appointment with a busy pastor? God says, 50. And all I am is a woolly wirehead guy with a promise from God and a cross and bowl, and I want them to march. In those days in South Africa, only communists marched. If you marched, you were a communist. So I realized why God had started to give me favor and introduce me to many pastors. And so the day came, and the Lord said to me, will you do this on your own if nobody else comes? And I said, I'll do it on my own, God, because it's your word. And the sky was black in the afternoon. It was, must have been something like it was around the crucifixion. And Carol said, it'd be very interesting to see if your 50 righteous men show up. Well, not only did they show up, they showed up and they brought all their friends and they brought their worship teams. And we had a jabula. We partied on the beachfront in Jesus' name throughout the night, a different worship team. And we had a prophetic word where someone said, we'll see something broken over this nation. And in 94, when there was going to be bloodshed, when the first democratic elections came, the pastor who had that prophetic word that night, he said, this is the vision I saw. And the nation, peace swept the nation. And order came, and God's hand was on it. Some of you know about Reinhard Bonnke, a wonderful man, probably the greatest man in his time other than Billy Graham. And he was in a little mission station in Lesotho. And he'd organized a big healing evangelist to come. And he'd sent word throughout the mountains of Lesotho, and some of the people had walked for days to get there, bringing the sick with them. And the day before, the person sent a message to say, I'm not coming. And Reinhard said, what are we going to do? And God said, I want you to pray for the sick. I want you to pray for them. You are your own miracle. And he began to pray, and the sick began to be healed in dramatic ways. The lame got out of wheelchairs and off their crutches and started walking, and the deaf could hear and the blind could see. And it started one of the greatest ministries of our time, because he was in a desperate place beating the wheat out on the floor. And God said, you are your own miracle. Hallelujah. It's important to remember that Gideon went on to win the battle against all odds. And God is wanting us to trust him completely. Now I want to pull it all together with this. God's love for you is immeasurable. You can't measure it. He loves us so much and cares about us so much that you cannot even begin to comprehend it. Let me tell you a wonderful little story. There was two guys who went to breakfast in Washington, D.C. The one guy's name was Bob. The other guy was Pastor Mark. And the two of them went, and they stood there, and they were having breakfast. They didn't really know each other any well. And Bob was an intellectual and a fascinating man. And he said to Pastor Mark, who incidentally has transformed the inner city in Washington, he said to him, give me your finger. So Mark put his finger out, and he took a straw from his glass of water, and he put a droplet on his finger. And he said to him, how many atoms do you think there are in a drop of water? So Mark said, look, you know, I thought I better err on the side. I must impress this guy. I don't really know him well. So he says, I either better go big or go home. So he says, I thought about a million. So he says, I said to him, 1 billion. So here's the story. One drop of water has about five one hundredths of a milliliter. It has 5 quintillion atoms in one drop of water. Now, there was an Italian scientist by the name of Avogadro. His name was Amadeus Avogadro. And he worked this formula out, and it's called the Avogadro constant. And it works like this. It adds up to 6.022 times 10 to the power of 23 that works this formula out. One drop of water. The point is this. If God went to that trouble to design one drop of water, one tiny droplet of water on the end of a finger, how much more does he care about you? What about your body that is filled with fluid? And God has all these atoms wound up in you because we're mostly water. You're explosive. God loves you so much, as I said to you, it's immeasurable, that he will invade you with a host of angels. That he will bring to you those things that seem impossible, and he will shift them. And we won't be with Gideon crying out, "Where are all the miracles?" We'll say, "God, this is your miracle. I'm your miracle. I'm in the miracle, Father God." He loves us beyond measure. He loves us beyond measure. Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he wants you to succeed. So let me pull this together. No matter how desperate your situation, God can show up unexpectedly and break through. Sometimes you are the actual miracle vessel through which God is wanting to work. And God loves you so much that his love toward you is immeasurable. So immeasurable that he sent Jesus. So immeasurable that he gave of who he was to the cross on Father's Day. He didn't just send his son. He sent himself because his son and he were one. The Father and the Son are one. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. He loves you so much. And you are on the edge of a miracle. Your angel is standing at the door. God bless you. Let us pray. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, which is true and amen. We thank you for the riches. Thank you, Lord, that your word declares that you will give us the hidden wealth of secret places. And Lord, even as we reflect on this story of Gideon once again, we thank you, Lord, that you're in the angel sending business. We thank you, Lord, that you're in the delivering business. And Lord, I just thank you for each person here today. Thank you, Lord, that you are the heavenly Father, the Father of fathers. And you sent Jesus. If you've come today and you don't know Jesus, don't go home without Jesus today. You might have known about Jesus. You might have even been in church all your life, but you've never said yes. Come into my heart, Lord. I need you, because Jesus said, unless a man is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so maybe what a wonderful time on Father's Day to give your heart to Jesus if you've never done that before. And the word says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Many people have believed in their hearts, but they've never confessed. Maybe you don't know why you even came today if you're visiting. Maybe you've been in church all your life and you've known about Jesus, but you've never known him. And you say, okay, today's my day. And you'd love to just receive Jesus and say, yes, come into my heart. I need you, Lord Jesus. If that's you, just pop your hand up quickly and just wave it at me. Would you do that if you've never done that before? And you'd love to do that today. What a wonderful thing. You just pop your hand up quickly wherever you are. Okay, then I must assume that everyone here has done that. That's wonderful. And we rejoice in that. And so, Heavenly Father, the Word says we need to respond as it goes forth. And so, Lord, right now, I just lift up all those that are waiting for the angel, who are beating wheat desperately at the moment. And they need a breakthrough. If that's you, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up all over. Okay, that's wonderful. I just want to agree with you today. Your angel's on its way. So, Father God, I don't know. You can put your hands down. I don't know, but you know, Lord, the needs. And, Lord, I know that you're in the salvaging business. And, Lord, we thank you for all these precious people. Whatever the needs are, whether they're emotional, whether they're relational, whether they're financial, whether they're business-wise or spiritually, or whatever it is, I thank you, Lord, that you're on your way. And we cover and we seal. We thank you that you're the God of the miracle and the God of the breakthrough in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Don't feel that you have a few words for some people, David? We're going to just draw on the man's gift.
Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are needing a financial breakthrough. Just stand with me and I want to agree with you. You need a financial breakthrough. Just stand. Don't be embarrassed. God will operate with you. If you put your hand up and you were believing for a financial miracle, I want to agree with you. I won't embarrass you. Okay. So, Father God, we thank you for those who need that financial breakthrough. Some of you, if you need relational breakthroughs, just stand where you are. I just want to agree with you as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, some of the Lord says that he's heard your cries. He's known that you've cried out. He knows your heart and he knows the bruises, but he says he's the God of the break. And so today we thank you, Father God, that you're doing new things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sue. Just thank you for this faithful woman. Sue, God says he just sees your faithfulness. He sees your faithfulness. And even though there have been misunderstandings, God says, watch and see. I'll cause them to line up. That thing that you cried out for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Faithfulness, Lord. Lord, you know his heart, Lord. And right now, the Lord says, you're going to almost see it like a huge wash behind you. I see that the things that you've struggled and wrestled with are going to be washed. Says God, they're going to be washed, almost like the back of a big ship where the wake just disappears in the distance. The Lord says, I'm going to cause that turbulence and that turmoil to be moved back from you, says God. And you'll sail forward in a strong and firm and secure place. But the wash will be taken from you, says God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I speak blessing over her right now. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, just says the hurts and the bruises and the times that you just felt desperate, like no one understands. Father wants you to know that he understands. And that you can roll that onto him. And right now he's pouring his healing balm. Mike, I just felt like God says to you, he loves you and he knows that you seek his heart, as Mike Bear. And he's seen the faithfulness of your heart. But he wants you to know as well that sometimes as he writes on the wall, it's okay. Because he can rub it out with the same finger if necessary. Because the journey is a faith journey. And he wants you to live in the fullness of his peace. And don't allow anything to override it, but cling to the word that he's given you. But it's okay, the finger rubs out as well. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, you know the cry and the hearts and the pain. And Lord, Rod and Val, you've faced many battles in your lives and you've seen things that seem immovable. But God says, I'm not the God of the impossible. Have you not seen the mountains melt like wax? And so the Lord wants you to just enter a fresh place in his presence. And you'll see this mountain melt like wax in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful moment. Just thank you for Bev. Just thank you for her faithfulness. And Lord, you know the mother heart. You know her heart, Lord, is after you. And you know the struggles that she's walked in. Right now, the Lord says to you too, there's a fresh wind blowing. And the Lord says, you're going to see soul separated from spirit, but in that there'll be a healing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Touch her right now. The Lord says, you're going to play a new song. You're going to play a new song, says God. And it'll be melodious. And it'll be a song you haven't heard before. It'll be even a song you haven't seen before. In Jesus' name. So we speak life and love and healing today. Oh, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. The Lord says, I knew before you did. The Lord says, I carried the burden before you did. And now I'm healing, says God. Your angel's at the door, says God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord says to Coastal as a church, it's Father's Day, am I not your father? And I'm going to expand my father heart over you as a church, as a people. Corporately and individually, says God. And I declare to you, Coastal, that the best is yet to come. You can all just look at me. The Lord would say to you, like he said before, I'm lifting the burden from you as you look at that thermometer. Because people won't say, you live in your paneled houses while God's house lies in tatters. Because this is a new day for God's house. And have a look around. The Lord says these walls will not contain that which I would do here. But the Lord says lift your sight, lift your vision, am I not your heavenly Father? My hand is never dealt short to my people, says God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Dave. Hallelujah. Good day. Amen. It's great to have the gift like that in the house because it shifts the atmosphere. It shifts things. Dave and Carol have been used like a point of an arrow that goes into areas. And truly, I've seen where angels fear to tread here, Dave goes. Trench Town and all those places that you kind of say, no, don't go there. And he shared about it today. It's just Dave and Carol have earned the right in the things of the Spirit. They've stayed faithful. They've pushed. And don't take lightly the words that were spoken because they come back and watch them with power go ahead of you and announce them. Say, God, it's been said. It's been said. It's been said. And when you continue to enforce that, And while Dave was sharing, I just want to say this before I dismiss you guys, that I sense that you guys are going to come from a more victorious place soon. There'll be a season where you're going to be out there. And yes, world has turmoil. Our lives will have turmoil. But when we get out there and we speak and represent the King of Kings, you're going to announce things that are going to set people free. And so that's why whatever's going to happen out there is going to be bigger than what's happening in here. Because you carry that goodness and greatness of God out there. And you're going to be in those situations, like when Dave was in that tin shack, the now word starts coming and starts and touching people's lives. Even those challenging bosses and coworkers and friends and relationships, you're going to have now words. It's just going to bring God's grace and love and kindness and goodness. And people, when they see the goodness of God, it draws them to repent, gets them to change their mind. Hallelujah. Good days. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, thank you. We are rejoicing in you. We celebrate in you as we stand confidently in this beachhead that you called Flagler Beach and announce you as King and as Lord. And we say yes and amen to the words that have been spoken over our lives. This word that, Father, yes, we are going to team up with our angel. And yes, we are going to be taking the first step. And we know that the water will hold us as we walk for you in faith in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen and amen. Enjoy your fellowship and in the week in Jesus' name.